Today's shiur is Masecht Gittin Daf Nun. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion based on the Gemara Masecht Baba Basra Daf Kuf Ayin Dalad. If somebody becomes a guarantor to a loan where a loiva has no assets, is that considered a halachically accepted guarantor? Do we say that no one is becoming a guarantor to a loan that can't be paid? Says the Gemara, Itmar, Arav de Ksuba, when somebody is an Arav to a Ksuba, Devarak Aloy Mishtabit, everybody will agree that you can't go after the Arav, after the guarantor. Because, as Rashi explains, he was this is the way the Achronim explain Rashi, at least. He really did not expect to have to pay off the Ksuba. All he wanted to do is that the Ksuba was being written by the wedding, and he wants to make sure, this is the way Reb David Pavarsky explains, that he wanted that this wedding should happen. They weren't ready to go ahead with the Ksuba unless there was a guarantor. He was sitting there, he wanted to help make sure that this couple gets married. Moreover, usually when there's a loan and there's a guarantor, always, when you have a loan with a guarantor, means that the malva gave something to the loiva. But at a marriage, the husband promises the wife a ksuba, but the wife gives nothing in return. And therefore, the halacha is for that type of arvus, everybody, that type of arvus is a different, everybody will agree, is not an arvus that the arv can be, you could come after the arv. There's a machloikis, Rambam and Ravid, what's going to be the halacha if there was a kinyan attached to the arvus of being guarantor to the ksuba? The Rambam says even if there was a kinyan, it wouldn't make a difference. The Ravid holds that if there was a kinyan, it would make a difference. And the way the Magid Mishnah explains this machloikis, it goes back to something we mentioned in our previous shiur, and that is the concept of a smachta loikanya. If somebody took upon himself, pledged something, with the assumption that he will never have to fulfill that pledge, is that considered binding or not? The Rambam's opinion is that a smachta loikanya, and when the person took upon himself to be an orev at a ksuba, never was it his attention, assumption that he's going to have to pay it, and therefore, even if there was a kinyan, he wouldn't be obligated. The Ravid doesn't accept that. If you took that obligation upon yourself with a kinyan, then the halacha is that you sincerely meant that, and therefore, you're going to be considered an orif. Another halacha. Yes, in our previous year, we spoke about an orif kablin. An orif Kablin is, as we learned, that it's a much stronger type of arvus. That means we treat it that you don't have to go to the loiva first. You could go directly to the malva. So says the Gemara, Divrei Hakel, in such a case, Mishtabed, the arv obligation is a strong obligation, and he has to pay it off no matter what. Reason is because the fact that he's an Arav, number one, the loiva, he's assuming that the loiva will pay back what was lent to him. And number two, that the fact is that the malva lent the money because I took upon myself to be an Arav Kablan. Says the Gemara, that's the Baal Chayv. Arav the Baal Chayv, which is not a Kablan, which is a guarantor that if the loiva can't pay back, then you go after the Arav. Or if you had the Arev in the Ksuba was this higher level of Arvis. It was an Arev Kablin. Kablin the Ksuba. Says the Gemara Pligi, there's a machloikus, what is the halacha there? Ikalaman dama, afgav de lesle nechse loiva. Even though the loiva doesn't have any assets, mishtabid, even if he's just a regular guarantor, he is obligated. And the way the Gemara over there explains it, because the malva could have a very strong argument. The Malva could say, I only lent the money because I knew that you're a guarantor, and now you have no right to back off. And therefore, even if the loiva didn't have any assets, and therefore the Arav is saying, I never meant this seriously, I would never be an Arav to somebody who doesn't have money, still, he's going to have to pay, because the Malva could claim that's the reason I lent the money. If the loiva had assets, so then it's a serious arvus, because I took it upon myself with the assumption that the loiva is going to use his assets to pay off, and therefore mishtabed he will be responsible. Ilesley, but if the loiva did not have any assets, or in the case of the ksuba, the husband didn't have any ksuba assets, the arv could make a strong argument that this is obvious that I never meant to take this upon myself, because I knew that you don't have assets, so there's nobody in their right mind that would take on this type of responsibility. So what is the halacha? Bekula, in all situation, afagav the lesley, even if the loiva or the husband don't have any assets, mishtabed, the halacha is that he becomes responsible. Again, with the reason is, as we've been learning, because otherwise the malva could say, I would have never lent the money. Bar mi arv de ksuba. Except if somebody's an arv in a ksuba, the afagav de islay, even if the husband has assets, the fact that you are an arv on the ksuba, loy mishtabed, doesn't obligate you. Why? Why should it not obligate you? Particularly if the husband has assets. So the malva, the wife can make a very strong argument. The wife can make a very strong argument that you knew that my husband has assets, so clearly when you accepted to be an Arif, you knew that my husband's going to be able to pay, and your Arvis was serious, says the Gemara. Two reasons. My time, number one, mitzvah David. The only reason the person accepted upon himself to be an Arif is he wanted to help make sure that this couple gets married. And also, Lamide Chosra. A Malva lends money, he's giving away. So since he's giving away something, he's lending money, he wants to make sure he's going to get his money back. But here, she didn't give anything that she could say, well, I relied on you to get something back. She didn't give anything away that she should be able to make that claim. Amar Mazutra says, Amar Ravina, Toshma, we could actually disagree with Mazutra, because Mikart the Takantim. The reason Chazal made a rule that a ksuba is collected from Zaburius, we learned in our previous year, is because Yosef Mash Isherot Salisa, more than men are anxious to get married, Isherot Salinasi, women are anxious to get married. Visa Kadatach, if you're going to say that the reason you collect from Zaburius, Miyasmei, so then he should have said, Mishim de Yasmehi. We should have said that the reason is because they're Yusaimim, not because of this reason. Tiyufta de Mazutra, Tiyufta says the Gemara, he's refuted, and the Ksuba is collected from Zaburius. In our previous year, we had a very serious discussion when the Mishnah taught us that a Ksuba is collected from Zaburius. Is it from just if you collected from the Yusaimim, or is it even if you collected from the husband? Here we see that even when it's collected from the husband, it's collected from Zaburius. Says the Gemara, Amar Mazutra Berei Rav Nachman, Shmei Rav Nachman. Shtar Chayv Yotzei Yosoimim. A person borrowed money, and the loiva passed away. And now the malva is coming after the Yosoimim to pay off the obligation. Afal Pisha Kosobo. Even if the shtar explicitly is written that you're going to be able to collect from Shvach, that the malva collects from the Idyas, the halacha is ena goyva elman of Zaburius, he'll only pay from the Zaburius, because they are Simon. The Ramban, however, says that if the shtar says that the loiva is obligating to pay him back the malva from Idyas, and the shtar explicitly says, bay me many, bay me yarshai, that if you're going to collect the debt, whether you collect it from me or from my yarshim, you collect from Idyas, then the halacha will be that since the father wrote this out in such a very explicit manner, the halacha is that you collect, then the malva would be able to collect from the ijus. Torah says that this halacha would be the same if the shtar was written that it should be from Beinonis. And again, we're going to say that only the father is obligated to pay Beinonis, not the Simon. The Ksav Sofer actually disagrees. He says that if the shtar, it's very much connected to this Ramban. He says if the shtar says that you're going to collect from Beinonis, he obviously meant to say that you'll be able to collect from my Yorsher from Beinonis. Because to write that he collects from Beinonis, I don't need a shtar. It goes without saying that you collect from Beinonis. As we've been learning from the Mishnah, that a Baal Chayv always collects from Beinonis. So when he wrote the words Beinonis, what he meant to say, says the Ksav Sofer, what he clearly meant to say was to pay for that his Yorshim will be obligated to pay from the Beinonis, even though they're Yisoyim. Amar Abaye, Teda, I could prove to this case that if you're paying, that the obligation doesn't pass on under normal circumstances. The obligation does not pass on to the children. The Baal Chayv Dina Beinonis. The halacha is a Baal Chayv pays from Yisoyim, from Beinonis. Miyasmi, they pay from Zaburius. So even though the Malva, the Loiva agreed to pay from Idyas, the halacha is the Yisoyim pay from Zaburius. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Hachi Hashta, can we speak about this halacha, about a regular Baal Chayv who collects from Beinonis, to the case where the Loiva agreed to pay Idyas? Baal Chayv dinam midaraisa b'zaburius. Midaraisa, from what does a Baal Chayv have to pay off the obligation? So says the Gemara, a Baal Chayv midaraisa has to pay off his obligation from Zaburius. Shnema, the Torah says, when it speaks about a malva approaching a loiva for a mashkin, the Torah says, how does he approach him? Bechutz tamad, the malva should stand outdoors. Ve'isha shatanoi shaba, the person from whom you're asking for payment, meaning the loiva, yoytzi elecha esa'avay rachutza, should take out the mashkin outside. Now, what is the Torah saying here? What the Torah is saying here is that the loiva is in control to give whatever he wants. Now, what's he going to take out? He's going to take out his least desirable kalim. Af loitzi pachsh b'kalim. Ma tam amr b'chay b'beninus. So the midaraisa is a buria should be sufficient. But continues the Gemara, as we learned also, matam amr b'chayv b'beninus. So why does the b'chayv collect b'beninus? K'day shloi tel delf b'fnei lovin. Otherwise, people are not going to want to lend money. Yasmi k'mur rabbana deraisa. Chazal said that we, by Yisoyim, we follow the din deraisa, which is Zaburius. Elohocha, but when the loiva wrote that he's going to pay idyas, kiven the dinam deraisa b'idyas, but since he's now obligated to pay idyas, because he has to do what the Torah says. Says the Gemara, afilu miyasmi nami b'idyas, then he should have to pay idyas. No, it's what the Gemara is saying like this. By Yisoyim, we always follow what the Torah told us to do. What is the din daraisa? So in a regular case of a loan, the Torah tells us you pay Zaburius. So here too, when the loiv is alive, the Rabbanon, for their reasons, made it that you should pay Beinonis, that isn't the din daraisa. But when a father explicitly accepted upon himself, when a father officially accepted upon himself that he's going to pay Idyas, an obligation is an obligation daraisa. And we're saying that the Yisoyim have to do whatever the Torah tells them. Torah says is the din daraisa. Here the din daraisa is that you have to pay, that the Torah demands that you pay Idyas, so the Yisoyim will have to pay Idyas as well. So the way Tosfos explains this Gemara, says that Rav is of the opinion that Shibuda Daraisa. There's the halacha that if somebody takes something upon himself, obligates himself, is that a chiv Daraisa or is that a chiv Darabonin? So Taisa says that Rav's opinion is that Shibuda Daraisa, and therefore, since Shibuda Daraisa, the obligation where the loiva, the father, took upon himself to pay Idyas is a chiv Daraisa, and now that will pass on to the children. The Rashba disagrees with Tosfos and says that Rava could be saying his opinion even according to the opinion that Shibuda, even according to the opinion, the position that Shibuda loved the Raisa. He says that once the children have to take on the pay off the father's debt, they always have to pay the father's debt with the way the father said he's going to pay that, the way he's going to pay that debt. Mazutra disagrees with Rava and says that even in the case where the father explicitly took upon himself that he's going to pay with Idyas, the Yisayim only have to pay Zaburius. So Taisa says the reason for that is because Mazutra, unlike Rava, this is Taisus according to his opinion, says that the machlokes between Mazutra and Rava is that Rava holds Shibuda Daraisa and Mazutra holds Shibuda Lav Daraisa. The Tzois disagrees. And the Tzois says that even though Shibuda Daraisa, it doesn't mean that Shibuda Daraisa is so strong that Mazutra says that even if you hold Shibuda Daraisa, the Shibuda Daraisa is not that strong that it could pass on to the sons. And therefore, since it's not that strong that it passes on to the sons, yes, the father took upon himself an obligation. And yes, an obligation that's accepted upon oneself as a chiv deraisa, it doesn't pass on to the sons. Well, Rava asked the Gemara. Rava's explanation was that since midaraisa, in this case, the malva could demand idyas, that's why the yisayim also have to follow that in. Asked the Gemara, Tana Avram Chazar. Avram Chazar taught us, Ein Ephraim and Nisa Yisayimim, we don't collect from Yisayimim and the Zaburius, Vafilu Hein Nezokin. So Gemara makes its point. For Nezokin, the obligation to pay by Nezokin Idyas is Medaraisa, as we learned from the beginning of the Perek. Dina Medaraisa Bidyas. And still, the Torah is saying, still the Allah is that the Yisayimim don't have to pay only Zaburius. So let's think this through. If Rava's point is that whatever the Torah obligates the father, the Daraisa obligates the father, the Rabbanan say that that should be the halacha for the Yisayimim. So in the case of Nezokin, the Torah obligates the father to pay Idyas. So shouldn't the halacha be that that obligation should go down to the Yisayimim? Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ha'iskinen. The case of Avram Chazar is referring to a situation, Kigon Chayisu Idyas the Nizik, a case that we spoke about in our previous shurim. What is Idyas of the Nizik is equivalent to the Zaburius of the Mazik, and we're following the opinion of Ishmael, the Midaraisa Midanizik Shemenim. Midaraisa, as Ishmael told us, when we evaluate the damage and you're paying from property, we look at it from the Nizik's perspective. However, because as we learned in our previous year, we want people to deterrent from doing damage, the Kinab the Mazik. And now, the Gabi Yasmi, the Yisoyimim, they went back, we went back to Din Daraisa. Eni asked the Gemara, that's not true. For Tani Revelozin the Tzor, Ein Ephraim Nitzi Yisoyim Elam Zaburius, but Fila Hein Idyas. So ask the Gemara, what does it mean you only pay for Zaburius when they're Idyas? My Fila Hein Idyas. Lav Avagav the Ksiv Idyas Bishtara. Isn't that Bryce speaking about a case where it's written explicitly that he's going to pay for the Idyas, and still, the Yisoyimim only pays Zaburius, says Loi. That's not what the Braisa means to say. My Idyas, what it meant to say was that even though the Shtar said that he's going to pay Idyas, what happened here is Shafoi Idyas, that at the time of the loan, he indeed had Idyas, but then that he lost it. It was stolen, or it was ruined, it was flooded. And the only property he now has is Beinonis and Zeburius. So when that Idyas is no longer available, the loiva doesn't have to pay from Idyas. And in that case, what would the loiva have to pay for? Midaraisa, we revert back to the Dindaraisa. And the Dindaraisa is you pay from Zeburius. But we have the tikkun, we have the special rule of the Rabbanan that we learned in our Mishnah, that a loiva pays from Beinonis. But by the Yisoimim, as Rava keeps on teaching us, the Yisoimim are obligated to do the Din Daraisa. And here the Din Daraisa is to pay Zeburius. To the Rava, this is like another halacha, says the Gemara, that Rava taught us. Dama Rava, Rava taught us. So Adam, if somebody hits Zeburius, if somebody did damage to Zeburius, he doesn't gaiva min idyas. He could collect from the idyas of the Mazik, even though it's very superior property. But if afterwards, Shafoi Idyas, that Idyas is no longer there, but he still has Beinonis, then government of Beinonis. The Gabi Yisayimi, when we speak about the Yasayimim, Akmura Bonin Daraisa, we go back to Din Daraisa, and they only have to pay Zeburius. Our Gemara quoted what Avram Chazar taught us. And there's actually a machloikis of Girsos, if the person who's quoted here was Avram Chuzah. There are other Girsos that say it was Ami Chuzah. What is the machloikis about? Because we know the Gemara says, Kol HaKayre L'Avram, L'Avram, Avram, whoever calls Avram Avinu Avram, Oiver Basay. He's Oiver a Mitzvah Sasei. That unlike, it's a Gemara Masechta Brachos stuff, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Unlike Yaakov Avinu, whose name was changed to Yisrael, but the Torah says that even after his name was changed to Yisrael, the Torah calls him Yaakov. So we see from here that it wasn't meant to be a total change. But Avram, once his name was changed from Avram to Avram, it's only allowed to be called Avram. And the Magen Avram discusses, is that only when we're referring to Avram Avinu? That we're not allowed to refer to Avram Avinu by any other name as only Avram, but not Avram? Or is the name Avram not a name that we're allowed to be used at all? So our Gemara seems to be a raya that only when we're referring to Avram Avinu must we use the name Avraham. But when we're speaking about other people, they may have the name Avram. But if we'll say that the Girsa in our Gemara is not Avram Chazar, but the Girs of our Gemara is Avim Chazar, the reason that it's Avim Chazar is because no one should be called by the name Avram. Everybody who has that name should be called Avraham and not Avram. And that's why we had to say that in our Gemara it's Avim Chazar. So going back to halacha that we've been learning over and over in our shir. And ain't from the Yisayma element is Boreas. Barav Agduvi Ba'ami. Yisayma Sha'amru. If Yisayma, when we speak about Yisayma in our Mishnah, where there's this special halacha that Yisayma only have to play from Zeburius, which are the Yisayma we are referring to? Is it Gitanim or Yifil Gedoilim? As long as they're Yisayma, it doesn't make a difference. They're Yisayma. And the Gemara explains the basis of the question. The Gemara says, "Takati ho the Avid Rabbanan Gabi Yasmi." This is a special dispensation that Chazal made for Yisoimim, and we'll say, "Laktanim Avid Rabbanan." So, which Yisoimim were Chazal concerned about when they were Ktanim? LaGedolim LaAvid Rabbanan. For Gedolim, they could take care of themselves. Chazal did not make this special rule. A dilma, or maybe the rule is regarding all types of Yisomim. Shloim Masik Data Amalva. When somebody borrowed money, he didn't in any way assume the misloiva, that the loiva is going to pass away, and that the Nafli Kami Yasmi, and now that the obligation will go down to the Yisomim. Davalei Noel Dallas. What's the reason, as we keep on repeating in our Shurim, the Chazal say you always pay off from Beinonis? Because we want to encourage people to lend money. And that's why if they know they'll be able to collect their debt from Beinonis, they'll be comfortable in lending money. But in an unusual situation, like the situation we're speaking about here, where the father died, that is unusual, and that is not going to be a case that will cause this person to not lend money because the loiver died. And therefore, we don't have the consideration of nilas delas b'fnei lovin. Afilu gedolim nami, when you're collecting from your son, you collect from Zaborius. Toshma, the tane avik baik shisha, yishayim sh'amru, when we speak about collecting from Yisayim, a gedolim, vein tzarech lehem ketanim, and certainly by ketanim. But ask the Gemara, so we have clearly a raya that Yisayim, under all circumstances, mean Yisayim, no difference gedolim or ketanim. But ask the Gemara, v'dil mahani milin shvua, maybe this was taught regarding a shvua, that if the halacha is that the malva has to make a shvua that he didn't get already paid. And here we're saying that he has to make that shvua whether if the yisoyim are gedolim or ketanim. The godl b'mila davu cotton tummy. And that's why we could understand that no difference between a godl and a cotton. Why is there no difference between a godl and a cotton? Because what's the reason that the malva has to make such a shvua? The reason a malva has to make a shvua because the yisoyimim don't have any way of really knowing if this loan was paid off or not. But that's as far as the actual payoff. So even if the Yisayimim are Gedolim, as far as knowing if it was paid off or not knowing it was paid off, they're considered Ketanim. However, that doesn't have anything to do, with paying Zaburius. And it could be when it comes to the halacha of Zaburius, it's only by Ketanim. Avlin Zaburius loy. There, only Ketanim have to pay Zaburius, not Gedolim. However, says the Gemara, Hilchasu, the halacha is, Yisayim Shamra, when we say Yisayim have to pay off the father's debt, Gedolim, Bein Tzarchlem Ketanim, Bein, and this halacha is both regarding a Shvua, where the Malva will have to make a Shvua, and Bein Zaburius, that they only have to pay from Zaburius. Says the Gemara, "Ein afram nechashon shabadim, makan sheish bnei chayim." As we often discuss, the halach is that if somebody borrowed money, his assets become mortgaged to that loan. Now, if the time to pay the loan comes back, and the loiva only has very poor quality assets, that's what the malva has to take, rather than go to people who might have bought those assets. What would be the halacha regarding a gift? That means a person borrowed money, and then he gave a very nice piece of property, karka beninus, as a gift, and to someone else, and now the only property he's left with is Zaburius. The malva comes to collect his loan, and what's going to be the halacha? The loiva says that the only assets I have are Zaburius. Could the malva go after the person who got a gift, a beninus from the loiva? And what's the question? Because why did Chazal say that you have to take whatever the loiva has versus going after the lekuchas? Because the lekuchas spent money for what they bought, and they shouldn't have to lose out unless there's no other option. But a person who got a gift didn't spend anything. So there's no issue of taking it away from him. You didn't spend any money for it. Do we say, we don't want to see that the lekuchas should lose out unless there's no other option. Ava matana, the lekup say the lekuchas, there's nothing to lose. The person who received the matana didn't spend any money. So we're not worried that he's going to lose the money he spent. Loi, and therefore here, the malva could go after the person who received the beninus as a gift. There's no such thing as a free gift, says the Gemara. Ilav, the Islay Hanomine. Why do you give a gift to somebody? You only would give a gift to someone because you owe him something. Ilav, the Islay Hanomine. If not that I had some benefit from you, Lo Yavle Matana, I would have never given you a gift. Vilkach, even in the case of somebody who received the matana, he's treated the same way. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara. Amalei makshisha bereid Rav Chisda Rav Ashi. Toshma. We know we often speak about a shchimera. And the halach is divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumsurim dami. So says the Braisa, if you have a shchimera sha'amar, tenum asayim zuz l'ploini. He was dividing up his assets, and he said, give $200 to this individual, shloish meis l'ploini, $300 to this person, and abame l'ploini, give a property that's worth $400 to this person. So he gave out assets that are a value of $900, but he didn't have assets that are worth $900. So what do we do? Where we take all of his assets according to the percentages that he just indicated, that's how we divide up those assets. And therefore, Yotzalok Shtar Choyv, and then the Shchimera dies, and these assets of his were divided amongst these people. Everybody gets Gavim Kul, and he collects from all of them, again, percentage-wise, he collects from all of them, percentage-wise, what he's owed. Avlam Omar. But if the way the Shchimera expressed himself was by saying, Tanu Mazayin Zuz L'Ploini, first give property worth 200 Zuz to number one. Vachrav, and then to number two, give a property worth 300 Zuz to number two. Vachrav, and then to the third one, L'Ploini. So there, since he was very specific in using the word Achrav, we say, Kala Koyne B'Shtar Zocha. First one who got goes first. L'Fikach Yotzal Shtar, and he gets his gift is satisfied first. And then what's left over is used to satisfy the Acharov. And then what's left over is used to satisfy the Acharov. And therefore, says the Gemara, L'Fikach Yotzal Shtar Chayv, if there's a Shtar Chayv, he goes first after the Achroim. Ein loy, and if there's not enough with the last one to satisfy the obligation, goy b'mishal fun, if you go to the one that's before him, v'im ein loy, and if that's the case, goy b'mishal funov, you go to the one that's before him. So the Yad Raman, the Ritva, asked a question that the Maton of a Shchimera is only valid after the Shchimera passes away. And it turns out that they all got the gift at the same time. So they explain that yes, the actual ownership of these properties only takes place after the Shchimera dies. But even though the actual ownership of these properties only takes place after the Shchimera dies, but the Shchimera, with his instructions of Acharav, what he meant to say was that after I die, I want it to be divided in this order. And therefore, this is the halacha. Now, this halacha that if he was very clear in his instructions, who should get first, who should get second, who should get third, we give it that way. And when we come to collect, we go to the last one first. Now, it says the Gemara, will even be the case, Afgav the Kamagat Beninus, the Basra got Zaburius, Basra, and the last one got Zaburius. And the Brisa says, Zaburius Gavi, Beninus, you collect the Zaburius and not the Beninus. Now, these people got these gifts, got these properties as a matana shchimera, as gifts. And yet we see that even matana, nami over rabbanat takanta, which always the rule is by lekuchas, you go after the last buyer first. And here we're learning that by gifts as well, you get after the last person to receive the gift before you go to an earlier person. Answers the Gemara, hachem ma'iskinen bebal chayv. These are not people who were receiving gifts. These were people who the Shchimera owed money to. Says the Gemara, but that's not what the Braisa said. The Braisa said, Tenukamar, I'm giving it to them as a gift. Says the Gemara, what the Braisa meant said, Tenu b'choivi, pay off my debts. So therefore, they're considered regular kuchas. If that's the case, so lechse shtar demand the kodim. If they're all collecting debts, and the regular lekuchas, so then let's look from these three people whose debt came first and whose second and whose third. Answers the mother like a shtara. Says the mother, we're saying who came first in the document. Said b'shtar b'karata. We didn't mean in the loan document. We meant in the document that the Shchimera wrote, who did the Shchimera give a gift to first, and who was number two, and who was number three. But they were all people that were collecting money because of look as not because of gifts, but because of a chayv. We're even talking about a matana. So therefore, shouldn't this be a raya that even by matana you collect from zaburius rather than collecting beninus from the lekuch from the matana v'lekasha? My goyvim in Achron says Gemara ain nifsed Achron. That means to say as follows: indeed, you're going to go after the one that has beninus, and if it's the first one, as the Gemara described, who had beninus, he is going to have to be the one to pay off the debt. But now, since in the direction, in the will that the Shchemara said, and the Gemara said, not just said, but even wrote, he wanted that this person should get whatever he's going to get first, he's not going to revert back to the last person on the list, who indeed got the last gift, and maybe even got, because of that, because that's all that was left, Zaburius. But he's going to say to him, I'm supposed to get my gift before you get yours. You have to give up what you got to me. The Bryce is speaking that all the properties were of the same quality. So if all of the Bryces were of the same quality, we go after the last one first. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody stole a property and then he sold it, and he sold it by Achrayus, that if somebody's going to come after the person who bought it from me, I'm going to have to give it up, and then he's going to come back to me who stole the property. So now the person who the property was stolen from takes the property back. The person who I sold the property to goes after me, and not only does he go after me, but he goes after any property I might have sold. But what is he going after? He's going after the price that he paid for the property. He's also going after the payers that were on the property that belonged to him. And we learned that when he goes after me, and he goes and the Gazlan, he could only collect from my, and I don't have any assets, he could go after my Menchosim Shabadim, but only for the value of the property, but not for the value of the payers. Emet Tzir Lachiris Payers, we learn Menchosim Shabadim. Says the Gemara, my tama ama ulam rish lakish lefish ein ksuvim. The reason you go after mechasim shabadim is because a person knows if I buy property in which there's a lien, I know I'm taking a risk that maybe I'm gonna lose that property if the person whom I bought the property from, that lien is going to be exercised. So it's a risk that I take. But the payris can't be in the shtar, because they didn't exist at the time of the loan. And therefore, I can't be held responsible for that. Amalei Rav Abelula, if that's the case, v'arei mazon ish v'banos, the halacha is that a husband's obligated to pay his wife's support and his daughter's support after he passes away. The command k'siv adami, that's something that's understood, that every husband has that obligation. So it's not like it wasn't included, and yet we learned Emet Sin. Amalei, Hos Mikara Hacha Iskin. That's not a question. When Chazal instituted that a husband's obligated to pay support to his wife and children, even if he's no longer here, it was only on from his assets, not from assets that he sold off. Hacha Mikara Iskin, Ksuvim Hein, Eitzel B'nei Chayrim. Those obligations are there on the assets that the husband left, the father left. Thanks, suvim heim, but they're not there. It's a mishabadim. The chen amar of ami amar b'yochan l'fish enk suvim. The reason that the person who bought this stolen piece of property can collect from the nechasa mishabadim of the gazlan who sold it to him is because the actual property was sold with a document that had in it a chrayis, but the payers weren't here. Amalei Rav Zeira Rav Asi, V'amazin ish v'abonos, demand the ksov adami, v'ktani emet siyin. Amalei, so it says the Gemara, in the same teretz, mahach mikarach askin. When Chazal instituted the halacha of a woman collecting support, the daughter's collecting support, after the passing of the husband and the father, it was instituted only Eitzel B'nei Chayrim, they could collect from the husband's B'nei Chayrim, v'en ksuvim Eitzel M'shabadim. Chanina gives a different teretz. When somebody buys a property which has on it a lien, There's a kol. Everybody knows that you bought a property that has a lien on it. And you should know not to buy that property, or you should know that when you're buying that property, you're taking a risk. And therefore, the people who bought that property knew what is the extent of their risk. What is the extent of their risk? The extent of the risk is the amount that he may lose because of the property that he has a gazlan sold. And that's something that has a finite, definite amount that he took upon himself, that the lekuchas took upon themselves. But the peiris are not something that has a definite amount. You can't know how much peiris a field will produce. And you can't know what the value of those peiris are. And an integral part of the understanding of nechosim mishibodim, it is a kol. There's a knowledge base to knowing what we're talking about. But when we talk about peiris, where that can't be definitively identified, so then we can't have the halacha of nechosim mishibodim, and therefore you can't go after the nechosim mishibodim for the peiris.